I'm John Dankosky from Next and the New England News Collaborative. Some people, many of them students, are living in the U.S. with a single entry visa, and it's very difficult or even impossible to leave the country to see their families and then re-enter the U.S. In recent years, the Trump administration's travel ban has made visitation even harder. With families from these countries barred from entry, it can be years between visits. But there's a library that straddles the border between the U.S. and Canada that offers an unusual way for families to reunite. We have featured the Haskell Free Library and Opera House on our show before. A theater troupe was putting on a cross-border musical there. Now this little library in Derby Line, Vermont, and Stansted, Quebec, has become a space for Iranian families to reunite. Yegana Torbati wrote about this for Reuters, and she joins us now. Welcome to Next.
Thank you so much for having me.
So in this piece, you focus on two families, and maybe we can start by talking about Shireen Estebanati. Tell me the story.
So Shireen Estebanati is a student in New York City studying engineering. And like many Iranian students, she is here on a single entry visa. And so that means that if she were to leave the borders of the United States, she'd have to apply for another visa to come back in. And there's really no guarantee that that would happen quickly enough or at all to enable her to continue her studies. So she's, for all intents and purposes, stuck here. And then because of the travel ban, her parents are basically have zero chance of getting a visa to the United States. And, you know, since the last time she had seen her father, he had had a heart attack. She hadn't been able to leave to check on him. And so, you know, she was very much wanting to see both of her parents. And so in August, her parents, who had traveled to Canada on Canadian visas and were staying with her sister there in Montreal, they came down to the library from the northern side, and Shireen drove up to Vermont from New York, about a six-hour drive, and they basically met at the library over the course of 2 days.
So here's Shireen talking about her reunion with her family at the library in a video that accompanies your piece. Let's listen.
I don't know. The time I was just hugging my parents, I was thinking, I wish I could stop all clocks all over the world.
It's really powerful. What was it like to see these reunions?
So I didn't witness Shireen's family reuniting, but I did witness a couple others in early November just by chance. You know, I decided to go up there myself and saw two families who decided to come there that day to reunite. And it's extremely powerful. I mean, they're very emotional moments. You're seeing people seeing each other for the first time in several years. There's, you know, immediate tears, really long embraces, and just, you know, the sheer pleasure of being in the company of your mother, your child, your brother, your sister, someone you haven't seen in months or years. It was really powerful to witness.
So tell us more about the Haskell Free Library and Opera House where these reunions are taking place. It's a very unusual building in an unusual place.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a very small library, just a couple reading rooms and a stacks area and sort of a main hallway. And it's really a relic of this era where the international boundary between the U.S. and Canada was sort of an afterthought. There are these communities that have been there for early in the 20th century, if not longer. And in those days, like, they were just sort of almost a like one town, but just happened to be built across this border. And so there was a local wealthy family that built this library and endowed it and purposefully had it built across the border. And a few years later, I believe that actually became illegal. So this sort of institution was kind of grandfathered in and allowed to operate. But, you know, it's very rare and very unique that an institution open to the public would be built across an international boundary like this.
But how exactly does it work with Border Patrol from both the American and the Canadian side? We can all picture the Border Patrol officers that sit as you're trying to get up to Montreal or back into the United States at these almost toll booths. But it's not like that at the Haskell Free Library. Explain exactly how the customs piece of this works.
Absolutely. And it's sort of hard to understand unless you go there yourself. But essentially, there is a port of entry very nearby the Haskell, just a few hundred yards away. And that's an official port of entry. And it really does look almost like a drive-through window. It's pretty small operation. But then at the Haskell itself, the border between the U.S. and Canada is just demarcated by a line of flower pots. And the library is sort of sits kind of like squarely across the border, but its only entrance is on the American side. And so there's basically been an agreement, a special dispensation that the library has, whereby Canadians, people entering from Canada, can park on the Canadian side, and then they walk on the sidewalk up to the library front door and go in. And then as long as they, when they leave the library, they go back to their cars, go back to Canada, then it's all fine.
I want to hear from another one of the people that you profile. This is Sina Dadsatan. He's an Iranian who lives in Canada. His family visited the library so that they could see his sister, who lives in the United States. Let's listen.
If my parents come next year, and if this travel ban still exists, maybe we do the same thing again. Maybe, because we are not breaking any law. This is the only solution we have right now. And if they're going to stop us from this way, we try to find another solution.
Is there a sense that someone might want to stop this type of reunion?
So, I mean, it's a fraught situation. And I heard several stories from people about Border Patrol agents trying to stop them from meeting, telling them that, you know, it was no longer allowed, chastising a library staff member who allowed one of these families to enter after a Border Patrol agent had told them that they couldn't. You know, the head librarian told me that both RCMP and Border Patrol had threatened to shut the library down over the visits. RCMP flatly denied that, and U.S. Customs and Border Protection, which oversees Border Patrol, didn't directly respond to my questions about that. So the visits are fraught. The library itself, before I ever reported the story, had issued a formal policy saying that family gatherings are not permitted, and they put signs up throughout the library saying that. But the signs are very easy to overlook, and the families that met there on the day that I was there in early November just hadn't noticed them. And the library staff members allowed the visits to go forward. So it's sort of this, it's almost like a literal gray zone, because it is on the border and it's sort of both Canada and the U.S., but also it's like a gray zone in the sense that they're kind of operating in this quasi-allowed, quasi-not-allowed space. And so it sort of remains to be seen if the visits will be allowed to go forward. But, you know, and you saw in that clip with Sina that this is something that these Iranians have turned to out of desperation, out of feeling that they really have no other legal option, that this is their one legal option to be able to see each other.
Yegana Trabati is a reporter for Reuters. You can find a link to her story at nextnewengland.org. Yegana, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Listen to Next on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.